Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And it is a beautiful Monday morning in Texarkana. And I hope that you had a great weekend. I think often, especially on Mondays, I think of the verse, Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord, Yahweh, has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, Mondays are the days that people have difficulty with. Oh, it's Monday. You know, it's TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, but we don't thank God that it's Monday. And but Monday is the start of a new week. Actually, Sunday is, if you look on the calendar, Sunday is the first day of the new week. And so we worship on Sunday, and that's that gets us ready for the week. And so I hope that you were in church on Sunday. I hope you had a great experience. And we did at First Baptist Texarkana. I was doing a series, just finished a series this Sunday, on Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, I called the series, it's a four-part series, Sin and Salvation. Because what we see in Genesis 3 is the fall of man, the sin of Adam and Eve, where they disobeyed God and they ate of the tree that God commanded them not to eat, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we see at the end of the chapter, salvation, the salvation of Adam and Eve as they put their faith and trust in the very first gospel that was preached from the lips of the Lord himself, that he was going to put enmity between the serpent and the woman, between her seed and his seed, and that the seed of the woman was going to crush the serpent's head. The serpent's seed was going to bite his heel, but the seed of the woman was going to crush his head. And the seed of the woman speaks of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the woman doesn't have a seed. The woman has an egg. But if the woman is, if she has a miraculous birth, such as the Lord Jesus Christ, where she didn't know a man, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, you can say that is the seed of the woman. And as we know, Jesus came and died on the cross. The serpent bit his heel, and when he rose again, he crushed the serpent's head. So we talked about that, and we talked about how Adam and Eve put their faith and trust in the Lord's promise. You know, some people struggle and they say, well, we know that that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. So how did Old Testament saints, how were they saved? Were they saved by keeping the Ten Commandments? Were they saved by keeping all the commandments found in the law of Moses? Answer, no. They were saved the same way we're saved. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Abraham believed God, and his faith was counted for righteousness. They had faith, just like Adam and Eve. They put their faith and trust in God's provision, in God's promise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means you've never had faith, I've never had faith, we've never had faith, Adam and Eve never had faith, Abraham didn't have faith, no one had faith apart from the word of God. So you believe God, and you believe his promise, and you believe his provision for your sin, and that is counted for righteousness. So they looked forward to the cross of Christ, to the day that the seed of the woman would come and crush the serpent's head. We look back. And we have, you know, we talk about how you have, you know, 20/20 vision as you look back on things. Well, we look back and we have a much clearer picture than they had, but we're all saved the same. We're saved by faith in the Lord's provision for our sins. Well, this is the day which the Lord has made, and I'm going to choose to be glad in it and rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 40:16 and Psalm 70 verse 4, they both say the same thing. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Hey, are you seeking the Lord today? You can wake up in the morning and no matter what has gone on in the past, no matter what you know, terrible things you have in your past, maybe even in your recent past, you can get up today and say, I'm turning everything over to the Lord. I'm going to follow the dictates of Romans 12. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And I'm going to lay myself out there and say, Lord, I belong to you. I'm yours, Lord. As the old song says, everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I've got, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see if I can be completely yours. And I'm going to seek you, and let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. As Paul said in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, circumstances can be terrible, and you say, well, how do I rejoice in this terrible situation, in that terrible situation? A dear friend that I've known from a distance just through Facebook texted or messaged me yesterday, and she said, please pray for me. She said, I was just hours from delivering my third child at the age of 42. This was my last child, obviously, with my age. And she said, just hours before I delivered, the umbilical cord got kinked and my baby died. And she said, I had to deliver him, and he was dead. And it was just so heartbreaking and so sad. And she was, she's devastated, as you can imagine. And she's having some blood pressure problems and some other things. And so she asked us to be praying. Her name's Tori. She lives in Arizona. And so we've been lifting her up, and it's especially near and dear to my heart because we just had our fourth grandchild just a month ago, little Chase Maverick Van Hoy, and he was healthy, and you say, praise the Lord. But, you know, when tragedy strikes, it's like, well, how can I rejoice and be glad? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. My friend Charles Lowry says, when you can't rejoice in the circumstances because the circumstances are bad, you rejoice in the Lord. You can always rejoice in the Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's what the scripture says, 1 Chronicles 16:31. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. So we can rejoice. Why? Because the Lord reigns. And the one who is king, the Lord sat as king at the flood, Psalm 29, the Lord sits as king forever. The one who sits as king is the one who loves me. He's the one who died for me, the one who rose again for me, the one who has a wonderful plan for my life, the one that I can trust implicitly with every area of my life, the one who doesn't let anything come into my life unless it first filters through his fingers of love. As we talked last week to Babby Mason and that wonderful song she sings, Trust His Heart. When you don't understand, when you can't trace his plan, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart, because God is a good God. And as the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And in the midst of difficulty, we're always reminded of Job and of Job's incredible faith. And when Job got word that he lost all his possessions and his servants and his children, his 10 children, it's just one after another, they come and bring this terrible news. And then the last piece of news was a great wind. Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave. Hey, I was listening to the funeral service that E.V. Hill did, the preacher of yesteryear. He did for his wife, and he used this text, Job 1:21. And he said, you know, it's easy for us to praise the Lord when the Lord gives. The Lord gave. The Lord gave Job 10 children. Praise the Lord. The Lord gave. Look at what great things God has done. And when we're being given gifts from God, we praise Him. And we're so grateful, hopefully. And our hearts aren't filled up with pride, because God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So when the Lord gives, we're grateful. And we bless His name. But then it says, and the Lord has taken away. Well, what do we do when that happens? What do we do when things get taken away? What do we do when our job gets taken away, when our finances get taken away, when our health gets taken away, when a loved one gets taken away, as Job was experiencing? 10 loved ones, 10 children. The Lord gave. He gave me these 10 children, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshiped and he praised and he blessed the Lord. And as my friend Dr. Charles Lowry has said before, he and his family have gone through the pain of losing a grandchild in a terrible, horrible accident. And he said, you know, here's the thing. We know where he is. And if you read in the book of Job, you'll find that God replaced double everything that was taken from Job except his children. He gave him 10 more children. He didn't give him 20 more children. He gave him 10 more children. And Charles said that's because he never really lost his children. They're all in heaven. So God did double his children. He had 10, and then he got 10 more. And the 10 that he had that were taken from the earth were taken to heaven. And so that's a great way to look at it. And, you know, what a reunion we're going to have when we... As the song says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory forever and ever and ever. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we can praise God no matter what. The Lord reigns, and the Lord is our God, and the Lord has everything under control. And the Lord wants to use you and me to make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. If you, as you've heard me say over and over and over again, what is our job here on this earth? It's to be a witness. What is a great witness for the Lord? I am convinced that when you're going through a hard time, and you're still praising the Lord, and there's still joy, and your eyes are still fixed on Jesus, and you're hurting, but you're and grieving, but you're grieving, as the scripture says, with hope, that speaks to people, unbelievers. That speaks volumes to them, because they can't understand that. They can't understand a peace that passes understanding. They can't understand somebody who wakes up the morning and says, this is the day which the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. And even when everything's falling apart, you're still praising Him, you're still trusting Him, you're still looking to Him. I saw Greg Laurie in an interview, and he was talking, it was right after he did a Harvest Crusade 3 weeks after his son died in a car accident. And he was answering the question. People said, well, are you mad at God? He said, no, I'm not mad at God. He said, I miss my son. But he said, I'm not mad at God. I love God. He said, God saved my son. God saved me. God changed my life. God changed my son's life. He said, why would I be mad at God? He said, do I have questions for God? Yes, but I just bring those up to Him and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust You. You know, God is not in the business of explaining. He's in the business of sustaining. And God does sustain us. And He does give us a peace that passes understanding as we cast all our cares on Him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we talk about rejoicing in the Lord, regardless of the circumstances, because the Lord reigns. We'll be right back.
We're we're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates, and of course, our own monies too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets, because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA, a very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
Tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
God made his design for marriage and family absolutely clear. Unfortunately, Satan has a totally opposite view. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023 wants to restore God's plan. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, strengthen your marriage and your family with Miki Addison.
The family, God's tool to advance the gospel and grow the church. This is why the enemy attacks it so much.
Israel Wayne.
The latest government statistics say dads spend 19 minutes a day with their children, and the average mom spends an hour a day. We have to have time with them.
Stephen Black.
This lust, this inordinate desire, actually brings destruction to everyone around. How do you know this? Because I used to be homosexual.
And many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Well, if you've been following the March Madness NCAA basketball tournament, we did a little thing for our staff this year where we set up a bracket for the staff and competition and see who would win. And I think we're going to have a cash prize for first, second, and third place, or at least first place. And anyway, it makes it fun for the staff. And I had a good chance of winning. Now, I'm a graduate of the University of Texas in Austin, so I was rooting for the Longhorns, but I am careful when it comes to rooting for the Longhorns, because if I get sucked in, they have the great ability to let me down. And so I was cautiously rooting for them, and sure as the world, they didn't win yesterday. They were looking pretty good up until about, 10 minutes to go or so in the second half, and then things started falling apart. They had the lead. They were up by 10 or 12 in the second half. So anyway, they lost, but that's the way it goes. And so you know you've grown spiritually when you can watch your team and just say, all right, that's not going to ruin my day. Now, I'm struggling with that a little bit in football. I've had to just almost not even watch the Longhorns, because I'm really a bigger Longhorn football fan than anything else. But anyway, that was rough. I know a lot of guys that say, you know, when they watch their favorite team on Saturday, it just kind of ruins the rest of their day if they, you know, don't play up to potential and lose, and it's like, ugh. And so we always have these grandiose plans, you know, our team, this is going to be the year, this is going to be our year. And for the last, oh gosh, the last 8 or 10 years for a UT fan, it's by the second game, you're like, well, wait till next year, because we've already lost. And you know, you don't get very many losses in the in college football. So we are opening up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. As we talk about rejoicing in the Lord regardless of the circumstances. So I'd mentioned Job chapter 1. Job loses all his wealth, and then he loses all his children in one fell swoop. And, you know, Job didn't know that that was... there was a not a contest, but there was a challenge that came from Satan to the Lord that says that Job only serves God because God blesses him. And if God would take away the blessings, Job would not serve him. As Satan said to the Lord in chapter 1, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Well, of course he's going to trust you and serve you and praise you. You've blessed him. He says, but put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him. So that's when Satan went after his possessions and went after his children. And then in chapter 2, again there was a day when the sons of God, that refers to angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power, only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd, a piece of broken pottery, to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. It was awful. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good things from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Hey, that's a great question. Shall we indeed accept good things from God and not accept adversity? Do you accept adversity when it comes? Listen, that expression that I heard so many years ago that I've used in many, many, many sermons is so true. Nothing comes into your life or my life unless it first filters through the fingers of God's love. And so we can accept adversity. James chapter 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Have you accepted the adversity that has come into your life? Because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you love the Lord and this bad thing has come into your life and you say, I can't rejoice in this. Okay, you can't rejoice in this, but can you rejoice in the Lord? Can you accept adversity from the Lord? Can you trust him even when the bottom drops out of your life? Can you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. And when you can't trace his hand, when you don't understand, you trust his heart, because God is good and God loves you and God doesn't ever make a mistake, and the Lord reigns. And the Lord is going to work all this out and work everything together for your good and for His glory. That's how we have to live life. That's what keeps a person, a Christian, from getting bitter at life. Bitterness is a cancer of the soul. And if you allow bitterness to get into your heart and you let the sun go down on your anger, and see, when we get hurt, when situations come into our lives that we don't understand and they hurt us, that hurt, if it's not turned over to the Lord and cast upon Him, that hurt always turns into anger. And that anger, if it's not dealt with, will always turn into resentment and bitterness. And many, many people are angry at God. They're angry at God because, as my friend Tori, they lost a little baby. They lost a young child, and they've never gotten past that. They've never been able to say, "Oh, okay, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you." I have a friend of mine. I say a friend of mine. He's vehemently opposed to me. He used to be a friend of mine. But he told me that he was bitter at God. This was several years ago. He said, "I'm bitter at God because we prayed for the healing of a young girl in our church, and that girl died, and that didn't make any sense to me. And why did God not honor our prayers as a church?" And so he got hurt, that turned, and then he got angry, and then he let the sun go down on his anger, and then he got bitter. And I told this guy, I said, "Listen, here's the thing. If you don't get rid of the bitterness, that bitterness is going to destroy everything good in your life." And he didn't respond to that. He didn't want to hear that. But I was informed, just this was several months ago, that he had tried to kill himself. And he was drinking a lot. It was awful. Well, it wasn't surprising to me. It was awful to hear that, but it wasn't surprising because bitterness will just eat away at everything good in your life. You turn into a bitter person. Nobody is attracted to a bitter person. No one wants to be around a bitter person. And you know, if you get bitter at God, well, then where do you go from there? He's the source of everything. You're not going to find peace. You're not going to find joy. You're not going to find love, because all that comes from God. And so if you're listening today and you're angry at God and bitter at God because of some things that happened to you, maybe you lost your physical health, trust Him. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we have Joanna on the line from Texas. Joanna, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Apologize for my COVID voice, but just wanted to share with you that two of the tools in my toolbox for dealing with adversity. One is to forgive and bless those who hurt me. The second thing is to use those heartaches, those disappointments, as indicators that I have made something other than Christ my treasure. He tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven. When we have an earthly, quote, heart attack over something we've lost, or a disappointment, or someone has hurt our feelings, we immediately identify that my treasure is that my friends or family should treat me a certain way, and if they don't treat me the way that I want to be treated, that they don't, or even probably doing it on purpose, that shows me that my treasure has been misplaced. My heart needs to be put back in heaven with Christ, where it's safe. And that's just a couple of things I wanted to share.
Amen. That's Joanna, that's great advice, and that's a great way to look at things. So it's like, okay, you can use those things to be like almost like alarm clocks that go off and say, okay, here's the problem. You've put other things in the place where I need to be. And so rather than beat yourself up, "Oh, I'm such a terrible, horrible person," you just say, "Okay, I've gotten off track, and thank you, Lord, for showing me so that I can get back on the right track, and I confess that as sin, and I'm going to move on with you." And so that is great advice. Now, Joanna, are you dealing with some things right now?
No, sir. I try to keep short accounts with the Lord. I left my husband to heaven. He's not lost. But he taught me early on in the loss that I'm to keep my eyes focused specifically on him, not to look behind at my loss. And he would walk with me going forward the rest of my days of my pilgrimage. And as long as I do that and don't think about my loss of my husband, my joy remains intact, my peace remains intact. And that's another helpful tool that God has shown me. And I just appreciate him so much being faithful to that promise.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Thank you for calling in today, Joanna. God bless you. Well, we have Sherry from Texas on the line. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you so much. I just wanted to share that in the last year and a half, I have been dealing with some really, really difficult things in my life. And while you were speaking earlier, I was thinking Romans 8:28, because I also read Pastor Robert Morgan's book about that scripture, and that was extremely encouraging and helpful. The other scripture that I quote to myself daily, besides, you know, reading God's word, and I talk with him throughout the day, and it gives me comfort. But the other scripture is Galatians 6:9. I have to tell this to myself every day. Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, which means God's time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Mm-hmm. And something has happened in our life this last month that has been, you couldn't write the story on this. It's been such a God-moving thing, and I'm sharing my story with a lot of different people, and they're just shocked at what they're hearing. But that's what gets me through. There's still difficulties, but knowing that God is the one who's in control gives me the peace that I've never had, and it keeps me going, and I'm just so encouraged now.
Amen. Amen. That is great, Sherry. Yeah, we keep moving forward with the Lord. We keep our eyes fixed on him, and listen, it's hard for everybody. I sit down in the counseling office sometimes, and I'll look across the table at the person that's going through a difficulty, and I'll say, listen, if I'm you, I'm struggling with this too. This is the advice that I'm giving you from Scripture and the counsel. It doesn't mean it's easy to do, but it's the right thing to do. And so you just start moving in the right direction. I think it's important when people go through terrible struggles, it's important to start moving in the right direction. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't just give up. Just keep moving, even if it's just baby steps. Even if one day you only move about 10 feet in the right direction, that's okay. Just keep making positive progress. And as you keep trusting the Lord, you'll find that one day and the next day and the next day, and pretty soon you've come a long way as you just trust him every step of the way. So God bless you, Sherry. Thank you for calling in today. Well, Bobby from Texas is on the line. Bobby, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to give a brief testimony of what the Lord has done. For my people fail for lack of knowledge. And until I read the Lord's word, I promised him I would read it front to back. Well, I lied, Pastor. I was having difficulty with understanding Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus and all of that, and I was crying out to the Lord to help me. My pastor said, start in the Gospels, so I read the book first time from back to front, but I have read it four times from front to back. Thank you, Lord, for that. Mm. And I have understanding in this area where the Lord took my 12-year-old to be home with him in 2012. Mm. And the thing that he done for me was save me on my front porch. I never knew I was proclaiming the name of Jesus in that funeral home, but I stood up at the last moment and said, we lived one way in our house. It's by the five rules of what a man needs, not what he wants. Jesus is first, air is second, water is third, food is fourth, and shelter is fifth. Everything else a man wants, those are the things he needs. And to have this understanding, Luke 6, verse 20, for those of us who cry, also shall we laugh. One day I'm going to sit in Dad's lap, and I'm going to laugh like a little child.
Amen.
And rejoice with my daughter, who's in heaven.
Amen.
And that keeps me going day after day, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Bobby, for calling in. What a great testimony. Well, we're up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls and we'll talk to Ann. Don't go away.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. The Tide Ministry is very excited to announce our second annual Race to Share the Gospel. This virtual event invites participants to run, walk, or bike 13 miles between April 29th and May 14th to bring awareness to the work we're doing to tell people in the Middle East the truth about Jesus. Participants will virtually navigate through the streets of a city in Yemen and pray for those who haven't yet heard the good news of Christ. It is critical that we entreat God to help us extend our media outreach into Yemen and ask Him to open the hearts of people in this region of the world where 99% of the country is not Christian. That's the primary purpose of this year's Race to Share the Gospel. To learn how you can be a virtual kingdom presence among lost souls in a faraway country through the Tide Race to Share the Gospel, visit thetide.org/race. That's thetide.org/race.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asked to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Hey, if you're on Twitter, I would love to connect with you. My Twitter handle, I think that's what they refer to it as, at Jeff Shreve, J-E-F-F-S-C-H-R-E-V-E. At Jeff Shreve. I'd love to connect on Twitter. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. And we've been talking about dealing with difficulty and being able to rejoice in the Lord no matter what's going on, because the Lord never changes. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. 1 Chronicles 16:31. And we have Ann on the line from Mississippi. Ann, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I just caught the last few minutes of what you were saying about a root of bitterness. If you don't forgive, if you don't get rid of that, it turns into anger. I believe that's what you said.
Well, the anger turns into the bitterness.
Oh, I had it reversed. Okay. Mm-hmm. The anger turns into bitterness. Well, anyway, I just wanted to share how I let that happen to me, and I'm hoping it'll help someone, you know, not do the same thing. But my first marriage failed due to infidelity, and I never dealt with it, really. I never forgave him deep down, and I think deep down I was still angry because, you know, 20 years later I could talk about it and cry. And then, it, like you said, it developed into a root of bitterness. And then when I married my second husband, due to me not dealing with that, due to me stuffing that all those years, we were married 44 years and before he passed away. And a lot of times I think I took that anger out on him, that root of bitterness, when he didn't do anything. He was a sweet guy. You know, he loved me. And I just hate that that happened, but anyway, I did get to ask him to forgive me before he passed away and thanked him for loving me, even though sometimes I didn't deserve it.
Mm. Wow. And I'm so glad that you got things settled on that. I think it's very common when we get hurt and we don't deal with the hurt, and then that turns to anger, then that turns to resentment and bitterness, and we kind of stuff that down, but it never stays. It's like burying toxic waste. It never stays, buried. It'll come up. When I used to work in the waste management commercial sales in that industry, they would say, you know, you can't put car tires in a dumpster. And I said, why is that? And they said, because you can't bury tires. They just always come up. And so it's like that when we try and bury those hurts and don't deal with them. They always come up. And then we project that onto an innocent, unsuspecting bystander. So your second husband, yeah, he didn't do anything, but you were projecting things on him and made it very, very difficult for him. But hey, here's the good news, Anne. You recognize that and you dealt with it. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So thank you for calling in today, and thank you for sharing your story, because there are a lot of other people that are dealing exactly with what you're dealing with. And let me just ask you, was there something in particular that happened that caused the light to come on where you saw, hey, I'm holding on to this hurt from the past, and I need to let that go? Did something happen, some church experience or a sermon or something that opened your eyes to that?
Well, to be honest, I was really aware of what I was doing, but I just did it anyway. I mean, I'm a Christian. I go to church, you know, and I'm recently been delivered from very, very, very deep depression. I mean, almost the S word. And God's been dealing with me for a long time, but I just wouldn't let go of it. I really don't know. I went to counseling three or four different counselors through the years, but I never did stick with it. I never did, you know, go on long enough to get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could say I was a sinner. Mm-hmm. Like we all are, I guess.
Sure. Well, I'm so glad that you've come out on the other side, Anne. And I know that, you know, it's like I said earlier, this stuff isn't easy. Dealing with the hurts of life, they're not easy. And Christians, you know, the old expression, hey, if you cut us, we bleed. Christians hurt just like other people hurt, but we have a place where we can take our hurts, and that's to the Lord, and cast our burden on Him and know that He will sustain us. And He is our source of strength and power, and He gives more grace. And so that makes all the difference in the world. And so thank you for calling in today, Anne, and God bless you. As Anne was talking, I was thinking about this, the testimony from another Annie Johnson Flint. She wrote, she had a terrible physical issues. She had rheumatoid arthritis that just knocked her into terrible pain and reduced her to being bedridden when she was just, I think, in her late 20s, early 30s. And she lived like that, dealing with pain for a long, long time. But she wrote the wonderful hymn that we sing in church, He Giveth More Grace. And listen to the words of this hymn. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials he multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. The Father, both thee and thy load, will upbear. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. God is so great and so awesome and so wonderful. As Joseph said to his brothers, Genesis 50, verse 20, it's kind of the Old Testament version of Romans 8, 28. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, that many lives would be spared. We have to look at it that way. Hey, the devil is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And just like he came at Job, he couldn't get at Job unless God first let down the hedge. That's where we get the phrase, nothing comes into your life or mine unless it first filters through God's fingers of love. And so the devil couldn't get at Job unless God allowed that to happen, unless God let down the hedge. And it was all for a purpose. And Job, the book of Job is summed up in Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And Job didn't understand. He didn't know that there was this battle going on between God and Satan, and he was the centerpiece of it, you know. And the issue is, does Job fear God for nothing? Does Job serve God for nothing? Does Job love God for nothing? Or does God have to pay off his followers? That's the accusation that Satan made, and the word devil, diabolos, means false accuser, and he accuses us before God day and night, and he makes the accusation that God, the only way he can get people to serve him is by paying them off, because they would never just love God for God. And that's, it's such a slam that he makes against the Lord. And so the Lord says, okay, well, I'll show you. Here's Job. Job loves me because he loves me, not for the things that I do for him. You know, we seek God's face, not his hand. We seek God's face because we love God, not the things that he can do for us. The old illustration is, you know, if you have a rich uncle, you know, rich people struggle with this. Do people love me for me, or do they love me for my wealth? And do they want to be friends with me for me, or do they want to be friends with me thinking that they'll get something out of me? Hey, do you serve God because you love God, or do you serve God because God blesses you? Well, that's the thing. Hey, God, you're Job's sugar daddy, and if you take away the sugar, Job's going to curse you to your face. And God says, no, he won't. You don't know Job. And the whole book of Job has questions, and Job doesn't understand. But Job trusts God. And when the Lord comes to Job, because Job is saying, hey, God, you're going to have to answer my whys, and you're going to have to give me an explanation for all this stuff. And God says, well, who are you to ask me questions? And he starts telling Job, he says, hey, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you think you're my equal and that we can sit down at the table and talk man to man, so to speak, and that you have the intelligence to engage in a conversation like that with me. And so he just blows Job away. And Job 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you and instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. That was Job's response to the Lord. He repented before the Lord. I don't have a right to question God. God is not in the business of explaining. He's in the business of sustaining. And so if we know that we know that we know that we know that truly He is good, truly His loving kindness is everlasting, and truly He works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, we can handle anything in life. Listen, do not view God through the lens of circumstances. View your circumstances through the lens of the goodness and the love and the grace and the power and the sovereignty of God. And when you do that, and you don't let your circumstances tell you, well, God must not be good because my loved one died. God must not be good because I got in this accident and now I'm in a wheelchair. God must not be good because I lost my job. No, God is good. Regardless of what happens to you, regardless of what happens to me, God is good. That's His nature. God is love. That's His nature. God is sovereign. He reigns. And God will work all things together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose. So we can trust Him no matter what. And we can trust Him with our kids and our grandkids. And we can trust Him with our future. And we can know that as the world starts to get crazier and crazier and moves further and further toward the abyss, that God is in charge. And we don't need to fear an uncertain future. We can just trust the God who has our future in His hands. It is a wonderful blessing to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to know that God will never leave us, never forsake us. He has made that promise. Hey, whether you have a little in this world or a lot in this world, whether you're a five-talent person or a one-talent person, everything that you have is a gift from God. That's why the last book of Psalms, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hey, if you have breath in your lungs today, you have an opportunity to praise the Lord because the breath from God is a gift. He doesn't owe you that breath. So use it to praise Him. Use it to glorify Him. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Psalm 40, verse 16. And let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Hey, if you're living in guilt, if you're living in shame, if you're living separated from God, you don't have to. You can come to Him. You can confess your sins to Him. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for today, and I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you tomorrow, and tomorrow's a great day of celebration. We will celebrate 1 year of Real Truth for Today being on American Family Radio. So we look forward to being with you tomorrow to celebrate that. Go out today, shine and share, and let the Lord use your life. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.